title of my message today is I Will Rejoice in the Lord. Last week we talked about rejoicing. This week we're going to talk about rejoicing. Because it's a season for rejoice. And it isn't just for one time out of the year. It's to rejoice always. I will rejoice. And we'll be taking our context out of the book of Habakkuk. I know some of y'all are like, where is that at? Well, get on your Bible app and you'll be able to find it a whole lot easier than you would in your Bible. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you would be able to speak through me boldly and accurately, Lord. And we just believe that it would be unchecked by any outside force, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you got your Bibles, open up to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. And you can follow along here. It's the New Living Translation. It says this, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the field lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Nothing can take you out. Nothing can take you out but what you let it. Jesus lives in you, so you will rejoice in the Lord. That's a choice to rejoice. Even in the midst of a storm, you choose to rejoice in the Lord. All your crops may have spoiled, but you choose to rejoice in the Lord. Your cattle are no longer living. But you choose to rejoice in the Lord. Lord, all my friends just left me. Choose to rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful in the God of your salvation. Because you still have him in your life. You can choose to rejoice. He is the God who we stand in awe of every single day. We know who he is. And if you don't know, then let's open up this context and read who he truly is. Throughout our lives, sometimes we may ask the question, why does bad things happen to good people? You ever ask yourself that question? Maybe some of you already know. It's because they do bad things. We're not good in itself. God is good. Sometimes we miss it. And there's spiritual laws of sowing and reaping. But why do bad things happen to good people? We tend to draw this conclusion when we see that they don't honor God the way we do. You know, my name, Timothy, means honoring God. My grandmother, we call her Momo. She named me. Out of the six boys that my dad wanted, he got six. Four of them have middle names, and I and my younger brother, Tyrone, don't have any middle names. So I'm just Timothy. Nunnery, but my name means honoring God. When we honor God, he's faithful to us. He's always stays faithful, even if we don't honor him. He holds up the end of his bargain. Sometimes we don't. Lord, why is it that those who do wrong always succeed? Why are they the ones that get in the raises? You ever ask yourself that? Why is it that, listen, they did all this stuff to this people over here, but yet they still seem to be prospering? They still seem to be getting promotions. They still seem to be enjoying life in every which way. It seems that they have more life than what I have in my life. Then we start drawing these comparisons to one another. We got to stay away from that. Lord, the more I draw closer to you, the more I study your word, my situation sometimes seems to get worse. The more I spend time in prayer, I know that you are near me, but my circumstances doesn't seem to change. Why is that? The prophet Habakkuk asked this question to God. He says, see, on a normal situation, most prophets will say and repeat the things that God has told to his people. But Habakkuk is speaking about all the evil that Judah was doing in the sight of God. The injustice. The violence, the oppression and all the conflict that was going on between his people. This is what Judah was doing. Sounds like what we're going through this nation today. The murder, the idols that people may create in their lives, the love of money, the corrupt officials. In Habakkuk 1 says this, this is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Anyone ever felt that way? You called out to God and he just didn't seem like he was listening. God listens. He knows it. He knows everything you need. See, on the other side, no, this is just a little sidebar here. I said, this is why we are able to, we have that freedom to pray in the Spirit. Because when you do, when you speak in those tongues, it says you do not speak to men, but to God. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God. Since people won't be able to understand you, you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. What is that? Verse 3 in Habakkuk 1, if you can go back there, please. It says, must I forever see these evil deeds? Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Habakkuk was speaking of what he's seen with his own eyes and yet still prophetically was speaking about what the days we are living in today. He cried out to God because he knew God was a just God, a God who loves justice and despises evil. How long, O Lord, will you just sit back and let evil continue among your people? They knew better than that. He obeyed God. See, when King Josiah was king, he honored God. He obeyed God. He trusted in him. But when he was killed, his son Jehoiakim took over and evil was being done throughout him and people followed that evil. People, it's not good to follow what these leaders in this nation is doing. We follow our God. I'm talking to someone today because just because evil may reign in your city, you don't have to follow what they do. Just because it looks like they have all the money, all the power to hire and fire people, you as children of God don't have to bow or back down to them. You have to understand that God is still in control. God's ways are higher than our ways. You want justice for others, what may have done to you, but that's nothing new to God. He wants justice just as bad as you do. So you don't have to take matters into your own hands. He is still in control. He's called us to do two things. Love him and love people. See, when justice doesn't prevail, that means the law was ineffective. Habakkuk asks a great question because he knows the God he serves. Why are the wicked prospering even though they don't love you? Why do they seem to be blessed more than your own children? We obey, they disobey. We sacrifice and they steal and take what they want. We pray to the one and only true God and they have many false gods and yet they still prosper. Something ain't right. Habakkuk is struggling with this question that we may ask ourselves today. Realize something here. This isn't a prayer. It's a complaint. Lord, you see what they're doing. You need to light these people up. God replies to Habakkuk in verse 5. It says, the Lord replied, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. The charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn at all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone, but they are deeply guilty, for their strength is their God. God answers shocks the prophet. He was going to use the Babylonians to destroy his own people. Even though the people in Judah were bad, the Babylonians were worse. They were worse. How can a just God do something like that? God used a nation that doesn't honor him to take out his people, and they didn't even acknowledge God because their strength was their God. See, God had a plan for them too. And it wasn't to continue to live on out. In verse 12, it says, "O Lord, my God, my Holy One." Here's another complaint. "You who are eternal, surely, you do not plan to wipe us out. Our Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquest?" Habakkuk can't comprehend why the God he serves would do such a thing, even to an evil nation like Judah. Sometimes when God answers us, we may not like the answer. Sometimes we want to hear what we want to hear. And so we will search out everyone else to find out the solution. If God says you're done, I had talked about that last week. I wanted to continue to coach my son, but the Lord said you're done. I could have went out and searched out a whole lot of other people. Hey, nobody noticed. I never even told my wife. I could have just went on and continued to coach. But see, the thing is, God said no. We can't keep justifying God telling us no and then go out and do something different. And then we have to get this old grandiose story. He knows that. Come on. It seems as if God's answer for the current situation was worse than what was going on. "Yet I get that your people were bad, but these Babylonians, they're worse. They are beyond evil." They're beyond evil. "Lord, I know these leaders in this nation may not be all that good. And how they legislate immorality. And they do evil in your sight. But how can you send a Donald?" We don't want to go there. Because he would stand up to that evil. He didn't want to bow down. And some people didn't like it. How can you send somebody like that? Because he wouldn't back down. He went after him. He wasn't bought. He wasn't paid for. And sometimes he can use the unlikeliest instrument to carry out his plans. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We see the short term. He sees not only the beginning, but the end. Habakkuk goes and waits to see how the Lord will respond to this. This is Habakkuk chapter 2. Just bear with me on these scriptures. He says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Wealth is treacherous and the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations and swallowed many people. But soon their captives will taunt them. They will mock them, saying, 'What sorrow awaits you thieves? Now you will get what you deserve. You've become rich, by extortion. But how much longer can this go on? Suddenly your debtors will take action. They will turn on you and take all you have while you stand trembling and helpless because you have plundered many nations. Now all the survivors will plunder you. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What sorrow awaits you who build big houses with money gained dishonestly? You believe your wealth will buy security, putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger. But by the murders you committed, you have shamed your name and forfeited your lives. The very stones in the walls cry out against you, and the beams in the ceiling echo the complaint. God tells Habakkuk, I'm going to take care of the wicked. The Babylonians are going to go free of judgment and punishment. They're not going to go free of judgment and punishment. God is a just God. And he's the one that gives sunlight to not just the good, but to the evil. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. God loves those who doesn't even love him. He's so just that he blesses us in spite of the messes we may get ourselves into. Habakkuk, don't worry about this. This king of Babylon, he's nothing compared to me. Write it down. Write it down because everything I say will come to pass and the whole world will know that I am God. People, you don't have to take matters into your own hands. Ever. We say what he says. See, we have to go back to the beginning of the word and carefully thumb through these books and chapters until we get to the very end and come to the conclusion that we do serve a mighty God. We need to recognize who God is. He is the great I am. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And even though we may not understand it, God does not make mistakes. He does not fail. He's never failed. He is perfect in every way. So even when our situation may look dark, even when your friends may talk about you, even when it doesn't seem like you're being healed of that disease, rejoice in the Lord. You got to realize that praise will change everything in your life. It confuses the enemy. It's a powerful weapon. When the enemy thinks he's got you back down into a corner, give a shout. You begin to praise. I've shared this story before, and I know I haven't been up here very long, but I love this story. But when I was up here, when I was the worship leader, I had all the papers out, and I was getting them in order, and I just began to cry. And this is shortly after my dad had passed away. And then I just sat there for a minute, and there was like a darkness. I didn't have the lights on, maybe just these sconces up here. And it was just like a darkness that was just coming and enveloping on me. I said, Lord, what is that? And I just began to pray in the spirit. And he says, I said, Lord, what is that? He goes, depression. So I prayed in the spirit more fervently. And within about 5 or 10 minutes, the joy of the Lord came up. I began laughing. And I'm talking about side aching laughing. And that thing just lifted right off. Never came back. When we put Jesus the center focus of our life, not our things. See, I don't work to live. I don't work to buy things. I work to give. I want to be a giver. God's a giver. I'm going to be a giver. I can go out and get stuff that I want. It may take a little while. May have to put it on layaway, but... But you know what? I can get it. But I'd rather bless somebody. I'd rather help other people. All my kids got nice cars. And I'm driving this little hail dent, beat up white Dodge Avenger that used to be Ethan's and went to TJ. Now I got it. Because I love to give. Rejoice in the Lord. The enemy can't stop you from rejoicing. Be joyful in the God of your salvation. The proud must trust in themselves, but it says, but the righteous will live by faith, and the just shall live by faith. After you may go through all the complaining and fussing over your situations where it seems like there is no end, fall down to your knees like Habakkuk had done and pray to your Father. See, and just say, Lord, when we face pain and disappointment, callous my knees, not my heart. Teach us to love through the pain. Teach us to love through the storms. Teach us to love through all the trials that we may go through. Because sometimes our love can wax cold. We don't ever want to get there. But sometimes it may seem like we're getting there. Habakkuk went from complaining to God to praying to God, and the presence and power of God showed up. See, it's time to turn your complaining into praying. If you've been complaining, stop it and begin praying. Praying what? His word. Praying his word over your situation. Praying his word over your family. Praying his word over your coworkers. Praying his word over the school system, the education system. Praying his word over this city officials. Praying his word over this nation. I got to a place where I was watching so much news, I was starting to dislike certain people. I had to shut that off. Because we're called to do those two things. And the news was taking me somewhere else. Rejoice in the Lord no matter what you may see, no matter what you may hear, no matter what you may or may not know. Habakkuk knew of the outcome of this Babylon invasion in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 3. He says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. What brought joy to Habakkuk was his personal knowledge of God and his own salvation. And believe it or not, I'm at the end of my notes. Romans 5:3 says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, confident hope of salvation. Problems are going to come. I remember there was a movie in the 80s called Problem Child. We don't want to be that. Anybody ever watch that? That kid was a devil. But the type of problem we're talking about is we want to be able to raise hell for the kingdom of God. We want them to make it uneasy for those who don't know Jesus and operate in a certain way, that when the presence of God hits them, it arrests them. They have nothing else to do but to submit to the power and the anointing of God that operates in your life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. You rejoicing? Somebody bought Randy over there. Tell him to rejoice. Problems. Problems don't have you. Problems came Jesus' way, but it didn't have him. It didn't conquer him. And you have the greater one living on the inside of you. God knew your situation from the beginning. He knew what you were going to go through. That's why his grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, this is when he's strong. Lord, I can't do it anymore. I've talked to the mountain. I spoke to the mountain. What else do I need to do? Rest. Continue to move forward. He'll handle it. He'll fight those battles. Yeah, it may look like you're surrounded, but he'll fight those battles for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many are here today that is going through a storm right now? They just, it's almost overwhelming. Man, if you're brave enough, thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Father God, hallelujah. Anyone else? You just did. We'll see. If the Lord leads that way. Come on up, if you don't mind. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. You can stand right there. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Who's ushering today? You can face me if you want. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's a choice. So you can choose to stay, or you can choose to shout for joy. Because God's already saw the end. He's already given your way out. He said he bore your sicknesses and diseases. It isn't what the doctors say. It isn't what your friends say. It's what he says. That's where our faith is. So no matter how many times we open up that Bible, it's going to say the exact same thing. And that's something to rejoice in. Amen.
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 Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Shoot. Father God, we thank you for this lady. We thank you, Lord, that from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, we call that sickness and disease cursed in the name of Jesus. We speak healing in this body, Lord. We thank you. Receive it, receive it, receive it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the joy of the Lord. That's well enough on the inside of her, Lord. Yes. We thank you. We thank you that she is part of the church. Your body doesn't turn on us, Lord. We may have disagreements, but your body doesn't turn on us. It doesn't turn on you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for family. In the name of Jesus, and we all agree that by your stripes, Jesus, she is healed. Amen and amen. Now rejoice in him and be glad.
Thank you.
Rejoice.
Thank you.
That darkness tries to come, rejoice.
Yes, sir.
Not today, Satan. Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan.
Come on.
Not today.
Sometimes you're going to have to stir yourself up. Because nobody, no one's going to do it for you. You have to do that. Paul encourages Timothy, stir up those gifts. Stir it up. You're going to have to do that. If you got to do it around in your house, in your car, stir it up. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Young Parker, come. come on up here, man, if you don't mind. How you doing? Good. Come over here. You've been through some stuff, haven't you? Yeah. But God is always faithful. He's never stopped loving you. I just want you to know he's going to take care of it. So don't give up on him. All right? Let me pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this young man. We thank you for his life, health, and strength, Lord. We thank you for that young girl that he has, Lord, that he is being the father that you have called him to be. Lord, we just thank you for the anointing that is on his life and the blessings that come with it, Lord, and all the open doors that you have given him, Father God. We know this isn't the end. This is just the beginning of something new in his life, Lord, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Obedience. Obedience to God. Stick with it. Just one day at a time. Hallelujah. Son healed?
Oh, yes, 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 sir. Amen.
Amen. Come on up.
Let me get heavy too, is that okay?
You got 2 minutes.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to give him a mic because he's loud enough.
I want to thank everybody that was praying for our son and wife, all of us. This is baby Ezekiel. He's God's strength. He does have a Hawaiian male name. I'll let that. I just want you to know, I've been guilty of doubting God at times, you know, different ways, but I will never, and I want you to hold me accountable for this, I will never doubt God's love. And that he changed all things for the good of those that love him, Romans 8:28, and that just kept coming and coming to me. And, you know, Ezekiel is healed, he's blessed, and I confess that God will use him in any way. He is God's. And we need to pray for all them babies and staff up there at Children's Mercy. I believe that they're the best in the country, nothing against any other facility. But, you know, my heart breaks. Even in the whole time we're going through this up there, my heart breaks for other people. We had so many people love on us and care, you know. And I'm at awe, you know. I don't know if I've seen God at work, but this is amazing. I'll never forget it. How can I forget it? You know, I'll look at his chest. He'll have a little scar, but you know what? That's okay. That's a victory for Jesus right there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this has nothing to do with me, Abby, or Ezekiel. This is all God. But I hope that it gives you hope, because it does me. Go ahead, Abby. Oh, you're going to speak for me. Go ahead.
Well, stretch your hand out to these people here. Father God, we just thank you for TJ and Abby. Lord, we thank you for the battles that you have won for them, Lord. We thank you for little Ezekiel, that he's going to grow up to be a God-fearing man. And, Lord, we just thank you for the call that may be on his life, Lord. And we thank you for these two, for them yielding themselves to you on a daily basis, Lord. And we thank you for the increase in their life, in every area of their life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. All the time. Last call. Anyone need healing in any area of their body? You sick? Then why are you in our church? Well, be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. You know how to receive it? Lord, thank you for healing me. I receive it right now. You bore my sicknesses and diseases, and you carried my sorrows. And by your word and your stripes, I am healed in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's do it. Let's do it. Grab your neighbor's hand. Spend 30 seconds praying for the person on your right, please. If there's someone that's not around you, go to them and grab their hand. There you go. Hallelujah. Speak life over them. You speak life over them, life will come back to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now pray for the one on your left. For it is with the mouth confession is made. He should let the anointing flow. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up. Let your name be declared in our families, in our lives, wherever we're working, Lord, where we go work out, Lord, let your name be declared. That people will see your wondrous works through us, Lord. We thank you for the protection over these people, over our children. We thank you for our leaders. That they will surrender their hearts to you, Lord. And to do your will. Even though we may not know fully what your plan is, Lord, to do your will is a good thing. And we don't ever want to be out of that. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, thank you for coming out.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.